This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, you're watching the Beauties of Islam. I'm Yusuf Estes, and I wanted to continue talking about this beautiful concept in Islam about rationale, using the brain, the aql, and at the same time, when to accept something that's bigger than our own brain. By that I'm meaning, of course, the teachings of Allah. Now, if somebody came up to you, I don't know, somebody you don't know them, and they just started telling you crazy things, you'd look around and say, what is he talking about? If he said it's snowing outside, but it's in summertime, and you know it, you look out the window and you say, well, I don't see any snow. He's saying, no, it's snowing. You consider this guy's a nut. And if somebody came up to you and started telling you that it was daylight outside, but it's the middle of the night, again, you'd say, this kind of crazy stuff. Why should I believe this guy? Regardless of how well he could present himself, regardless of how well he could articulate or speak to me, still at the same time, he's not making any sense. I don't understand. Okay, that's not logical, that's not rational, therefore you shouldn't take it. But when things are all stacking up, and the person keeps telling you one thing after the other, you know is true, you know this is true, this is a fact, this is proven, this has evidence, this is authentic, and finally he tells you something you don't know, but he's been so accurate on all the other points, he never lied to you, he's only told you the truth, and he's told you things you didn't know before, but now you were able to discover, wow, this is something amazing. Now when he tells you something, that this one thing, though, I don't know it, I don't have a proof for that, will I believe him? And that's where there's something in your mind that should take over and say, look, the rationale here is to stop arguing because my rationale isn't strong enough to understand, because this man has given me more than I understand already, and he's not lying to me on anything else. Why can I not now accept what he said? It would only be because of what's called a prejudice. I have a personal prejudice against something, and I just want to believe it my way. I don't want to accept his way. I don't want to accept what he said. But it's not because of real logic anymore. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, speaks to us in the Quran, did you know that he speaks to everybody? It's true. Because he created every single thing and he created everybody, it only makes sense that when he speaks, he would talk to all of us. In the Quran, Allah begins by telling you who the Quran is from. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And this is the beginning of the Quran. And this is a very beautiful, logical conclusion to make that it must be from God because he's telling you it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the especially merciful. All the way through as we read this Quran, do you know we never find anything that really goes against our logic? It really doesn't. There are things that we don't know. There are things that we've come to know over the centuries to be absolute fact. But the biggest thing of all, it talks about Allah on almost every single page. Out of 604 pages, Allah is talking about himself on all but two. Can you imagine that? His names, his attributes are on every single page. Whoa! And that's not all. The message doesn't change. It is always a message to the mankind. Another point, when we find that Allah speaks not just to those who believe already, in this case, he would call on them as believers. Ya yuladina amanu, all you who have faith, you've come to believe, amanu. But he also says, ayyuhan nabi, which means he's speaking to his prophet. And then again, he also says to those who are disbelievers, ya yu al-kafiru, those who have no faith at all, no belief, disbelievers, liars. Allah speaks to all of the creation in his book. Is that amazing? Where you say, well, somebody could have made it up. They could have. Maybe, or maybe not. One of the things that we find throughout the Quran is the beautiful way that it all ties together. It doesn't get lost. It continues. You'll have a theme, you'll have a discussion, you'll have a rational argument being presented, and then it'll wind it up, and then we'll talk about a law at the end of each one of them. It will tell you something about a law at the end of each argument, and then it will continue again, giving you another rational argument. So many times throughout the Quran, I've heard our teachers tell us how it is that Allah presents something for you to contemplate, to think about. Now, some of the things are just very clear. For instance, some of the miracles. Did you know in the Quran that it talks about space travel, going into outer space? Did you know in the Quran that it tells us how the human being is formed when he's still a microscopic dot inside of his mother? And what happens when that little dot is fertilized by the father, and how it begins to grow, what it's shaped like? Did you know in the Quran it talks about the trimesters that a woman goes through while she's going to deliver the baby? But then it tells you some things in the Quran that we have no way, at least not today, to verify, to prove yes or no. Did you know the Quran talks about where two seas come together, but they never really meet? And today we can prove that's a fact. And the mountains and how they reach into the earth. And more, and more, and more. And we're going to take a break and come back and prove it to you. So don't go away. Sit right there with more Beauties of Islam coming up next. Bismillah, we're back. You're watching the Beauties of Islam. Just before we went to the break, I kind of threw some stuff out at you on purpose because I want you to sit there and think about this stuff. How could it be that a book revealed in the desert of Arabia 1,400 years ago is going to talk about space travel? I don't think so. I'm sure that's what you were thinking about. Maybe. Or at least if you heard it, you're going to say, where is that in the Quran? I did hear something about that. Or maybe you're wondering, what did he say about us being formed inside of our mother being mentioned in the Quran? Well, there's more, a lot more. But let's go to those right away. Let's talk about that. Inside of the mother. Now, you cannot imagine, even guess, what that would look like unless you've seen some of the latest of the scientific studies that have been produced, and I have seen them. When they take a microscope and they are able to insert the teeny tiny lens inside of the mother to actually show what happens when the egg is fertilized, what happens when the sperm touches it, how it attaches itself to the wall inside of the womb, and then as it breaks through the skin and forms the blood clot and begins to draw its life from the host, which is the mother. Then it begins to shape itself and it looks very much like a leech, which is, the little creature down in the water in the Amazon River gets on you, sucks your blood out. Then how it grows in the trimesters and gets shape, and it's in shape and out of shape, and how what comes first is the hearing and then the seeing. All of the things I described to you are well known today. You can ask anybody in embryology and they'll tell you this is without a doubt. You're describing what we know. So what? But if you ask them, could anybody have known about this at the time of Christopher Columbus? They'd say, oh, come on, please, that's not even possible. You say, well, now, could somebody have known about this at the time of Joan of Arc? They'd say, no, that's not possible either. Could somebody have known about this at the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him? They say, well, when did Muhammad live? You say, 1,400 years ago. 1,400 years ago? People didn't know anything back then. In fact, didn't he live in a desert? Yes. In a desert in Arabia, 1,400 years ago? No, I'm sure, no. He couldn't know that. It's in the Quran. That's one of the very first things that comes in the revelation. Bismillah is how the Quran begins. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. recite in the name of your Lord who created the human being from an alaq. And the word alaq describes exactly what I just told you. It is a leech looking clot of blood clinging inside of the wall of the uterus. How did anybody guess that? It also says the word in Arabic, mudgha. What is mudgha? And it's talking about this chewed lump. It describes in the Arabic language, in the Quran, the stages of the trimesters that the woman goes through when she's having the baby inside of her. How could this be? Unless it was coming from the one who created the human being in the first place. Now, there's another point with this, though, that these signs that we're hearing here are not just so you could call it a book of science. In fact, that's not the important point. The important point is for you to realize that there really is a law. He's giving you signs. He's giving you indications. He's making it easy for you to find the right path and then to come to conclusions. Because he's going to tell you things that your rational mind is not going to be able to accept. You're not going to be able to just say, yeah, I'll take that, unless you're not really thinking. But he's going to challenge you with these things so that when you do realize that this did come from Allah, that I'll have faith in it, I'll believe in him, because he wouldn't lie to me. And there's a reason behind it, even though I don't know what the reason is, but I'll do it. Let's now come to the one that I promised you. I wanted you to hear about the space travel. Allah says in chapter 55, this is chapter 55, Surah Al-Rahman, verse 33. Now, it's easy to remember. 5533. Got it? 5533. Go read it. O you assembly of mankind and jinn, come together, all of you, and try your best to go outside of the earth's atmosphere. Try your best to go outside of the atmosphere of this earth. And you will never, ever be able to get outside of the earth's atmosphere. Illa bi sultan. What does that mean? Except by a great power. Sultan is the power. That is what you call somebody who's the sultan. He's the guy in charge of everything. The Sultan, we call him in English. And here we know now today that it takes a tremendous amount of power to lift one of those spaceships up, doesn't it? When you and I are buying our fuel at the pump by the gallon and paying so much for it, when they buy the fuel for that rocket ship, they buy it by the ton. And we pay for that too. But anyway, all of this to send up that rocket ship, so much power. Ilabi Sultan. Amazing? So much more amazing. Wish we had time for more, but you can go to our website and get it there. Beautiesofislam.com. Till next time, salam. Peace be upon you. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. You're watching Beauties of Islam. And I'm Yusuf Estes. And we've been talking about one of the beauties of Islam is to understand the difference between human rationale and the logic that comes to us from our Creator. There are a number of examples and issues that we can bring up for these logical discussions or arguments. Some of them we find them in the Quran. Some we find in the teachings of the Hadith of Muhammad, peace be upon him. But in every case, there's so many lessons that we learn from it. I recall one of the lessons coming from the Quran talking to us about someone by the name of Khidr. Now, the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was saying that he had a lot of knowledge. And Allah was showing him that somebody had more knowledge than he did. Knowledge has always been a big subject with people. You know that. I like to know things. You like to know things. In fact, you'll learn something today, maybe, and you'll like to go share it with your friends just to show them, I know something. I learned something today. In the case of Moses and Khidr, this is a story in the Quran talking about how Allah was teaching Moses a good lesson. And he told Moses to go on a journey. And he's traveling with Joshua, I believe. And as they're going along, that this fish is going to do something, and that's going to be a sign to them that this is where they're going to meet up with this person who has this knowledge. And then what happens, sure enough, they meet the person. And then they're going to travel with him. And Moses asks permission, can we travel with you? And the one told him, no, because, you know, you're not going to have the patience to stick with me to understand what's going to happen. He said, no, you'll find us patient. Let us travel with you. First thing they do, they get into a boat. Okay, they take off. The people give them a free ride in the boat. Now, that's a nice deal, to get a free ride, to go in the boat, to go somewhere. As they're going along, though, Khidr takes a crowbar. We call it a crowbar. And he starts pulling the planks out of the boat. He's destroying part of the boat. Moses said to him, what are you doing? These people give us a free ride in the boat, and you're taking the boat apart? You're destroying their property? Come on, man, what's up with that? Khidr told him, I told you you wouldn't have the patience. So Moses said, well, okay, wait a minute. No, let me hang out with you. You know, Allah told him that this is the man who's going to have more knowledge than me. Okay, I need to stick it out. Let me see what I can do here. All right. If I say anything else, you know, just kick us off because, you know, I want to stick with you. So they go on a little bit further. They're walking along. And there's a boy, you know, maybe teenager or something like that. And Khidr goes over to this boy and he kills him. Ah! He killed him. Oh, my God. No. Understand, in the Quran, I'm going to make sure for somebody that's not Muslim, you don't know this. In the Quran, it says in here, if anybody kills an innocent person, it's as though they killed all of humanity. You got that? Okay, so, no, but it's in the same book here telling us that here's Khidr who just killed somebody. And it's also said that he's got this knowledge. So what's up with that? And obviously, Moses, like you or I, would say, oh my God, you just killed this boy. What did he do? Come on, man, what's up with that? I'm giving you Texas translations, by the way. But so that you can get the concept of what's happening. So Moses is questioning Khidr. Khidr said, I told you wouldn't be able to stick with it, okay? So now you're not going to find out anything more. Just go on. No. Moses said, hold on. We'll be quiet. We'll go with you. In fact, let us go with you. And if we even say one thing again, just kick us out, okay? We'll be away from you. All right. So they go along. They come to a place, a village, so on. And they're hungry. They need something to eat. So they're like, okay, what do you guys got? The people there are very rude, very stingy, called in Arabic, bakhil. So stingy. Wouldn't give them the time of day, much less even give them something to eat. Now, in this case, Khidr goes over to a wall, an old wall that had fallen over, and he started repairing the wall, rebuilding this beautiful wall, putting it all back up. And Moses is looking at him like, excuse me, you could have charged money, you know. Somebody could have gave us money for putting this wall back up. And, you know, you're doing it for free, and these people are scumbags. They won't even feed us. So what's that? Khidr told him, I told you you would not be able to stay with me, to have the patience to know, to understand this higher knowledge. Because, by the way, this is not the knowledge of a human being. This is knowledge of God who's coming to him to show this example to us about this so-called rational thinking. What happened next is an amazing thing, is to find out what is the meaning behind. What is the meaning behind these stories that we just heard? How could it be that Allah is sending Moses off with somebody, telling him, this person has got so much knowledge. You go with this person, you're going to see this real knowledge, way above normal human knowledge. You're going to see something in action. But then the first thing a guy does is get in a boat and tear the boat apart. The boat's going to sink. What's that? And then kill somebody? Oh, my God. And then to a place where the people are bad to you, you go and build a wall for them for nothing. Now, what in the world is this all about? I'm sure you'd like to know. Sure, we'd all like to know. So stay right there. Don't leave, because we're going to be right back and explain that and show you why this is one of the beauties of Islam. Be right back with more Beauties of Islam. We're back, you're back, and we're here with more of Beauties of Islam. I know when I left you off a few minutes ago, you were thinking, what's the answer to that? I want to know. It is an interesting concept. In fact, there have been a lot of books written on this subject for the explanation of the Quran on the topic of Khidr wa Musa. And this Khidr and Moses, the one we know from the Old Testament, same Moses. And Allah is showing Moses, and by way of giving him the example, it shows us too. He's showing us what is real knowledge and what is the value of knowledge and how it goes way beyond anything that we can comprehend. Allah says about knowledge in the Quran, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. That Allah has full knowledge of everything. He knows everything of the universe, what's above and below and all around you. All knowledge is within His grasp. He is all knowledge. And you don't have any knowledge except the knowledge He gives you. So for the smartest day of your life, for the wisest person of your generation, for all the Einsteins of the world, together will not make a drop in the ocean compared to the knowledge of Allah. And this is the point. It's not just about knowledge in the sense of information. It's not just about knowledge in the sense of being able to solve a riddle or a puzzle or answer a quiz. But it's the kind of knowledge that produces something in Arabic called hikmah, the real wisdom. And this is one of the beauties of Islam. And I really wanted to emphasize it in this program. And I wanted to use that example. Now, right about now, you're saying, is this guy ever going to tell us? Are we ever going to find out what is the solution to that? Yes. Yes, inshallah, God willing. The first part of the story, we heard that Moses, was with Khidr. And Khidr rejected him. And he said, no, please let me go with you. He said, you won't be patient, though. He said, yes, I will. And as they got into a boat, they got free passage somewhere. Khidr took a wrench or a crowbar and started prying apart the little boat that they were in. And maybe it's going to sink now. And so Moses criticized him. And he said, see, I told you wouldn't be patient. So take off. He said, no, I'll be patient. Let us go with you. The next thing had happened. They're walking along. And there's a young boy there, a young man. And this Khidr goes to him and killed him. Now again, Moses criticized him because, as we know in Islam, you cannot even kill one innocent soul. In fact, Muslims are forbidden even to kill innocent animals unless there's a purpose, such as meat and so on. So how much so that a man could walk up and kill an innocent boy? What is that? And again, Moses criticized him. And again, he said, well, then get away from me. I told you wouldn't be patient. You're not going to learn. Moses told him, okay, I will. I'll be patient. And then they went on and they came to a village. And in the village, the people wouldn't even give them a glass of water. Wouldn't give them anything to eat. Give them nothing. So all of a sudden now here, Khidr is going to put up a big wall, or repair a wall. And he was being criticized now by Moses, saying to him, well, you could have charged these people and we could have got some food. How come you're doing this for free? He said, this is the place of you and I parting company. You're going to go your way, I'm going to go my way. But I will tell you the meaning behind what you saw. He said, in the first case of the boat, those people that owned that boat, they were very good people. Allah loves them. And so here's what Allah did. He made it so that Khidr would open the boat up a little bit. So it starts to sink. They go to port and they take their boat out of commission. Why? Because there was an evil ruler at that time, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to take all of the ships, all of the boats, away from all of the poor people. And they have no way to go fishing, because it was a fishing boat. And how can they make any livelihood now? But these people could, because at the time it happened, their boat was out of commission. So by repairing their boat, they go back out. Now they're better off than anybody else because they're the only one got a boat that works. Good to go. You'd be like, yeah, hey, wow, look at that wisdom. But you wouldn't know that kind of wisdom unless you're Almighty God. All right, now the next one. What about the boy? Killing a boy, that doesn't work. Hold on a second. We found out from the Quran that Allah already knew how evil the boy was. By the way, he's not a little boy. He was a young man. And Allah knew that this young man was going to lead his parents into disbelief. He was going to do so much evil so that Allah wanted him stopped. And Allah stopped him by using Khidr to do that. Because Khidr had this knowledge. He'd given it to him. Then the next one about building the wall. In this case, Allah knew those people were very evil. No doubt about that. They were selfish, stingy, greedy. They loved money. So much so. And this is the part that I really got a charge out of. The wall actually was being built up over treasures that were underneath it. So these people won't find those treasures. But the people who buried it were believers, and they died. And so what happens now is, when they get older, they'll find the treasure that was left there by their parents. So it means Allah gave them their legacy by way of Khidr's actions. Of course, none of this means that you have the right to break the laws or do anything wrong like this, saying you have bigger knowledge. It was to give the example that you don't know why things happen. But Allah makes them happen for reasons much bigger than you and I will ever understand. There's so much more I want to tell you about this subject. So what I'm going to do is invite you to our website. Come over there and be with us on the website. It's called beautiesofislam.com. Till next time, peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, and welcome to the Beauties of Islam. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next few minutes, I wanted to continue talking about one of the things I find to be so beautiful in Islam. And that is where we go beyond the human rationale, the human logic. We go way above that and we find the wisdom of Almighty God. Now, you and I cannot think like God. We can't even get close to that. In fact, we aren't able to even fathom what it is to have this kind of knowledge. At the same time, though, we do have some knowledge, we do have some logic, we do have some common sense. And so this is a good time for us to compare it or size up against the knowledge of Almighty God. And one of the examples I would like to use here, we find in the Quran, it's the teaching about the story of Qarun. Qarun was the one who lived at the time of Moses. I don't know if you've read that or not, but you should take the time to read the story about Qarun. Because what happened was, he in fact was a very knowledgeable person, by our standards at least. Through his knowledge and his trading and so on, he was able to accumulate a large amount of wealth. So much so that Allah describes his wealth in the Quran as being so much that it would take a small army of men to carry the keys. We're talking about the keys to his wealth. A lot of treasures. A small group of men just to carry the keys for his treasures. But look what he said. He said it was because of his knowledge. Now, some people warned him. They said, you know, it's really because of Allah. Allah is the one who gives you things. And in fact, we know in Islam that Allah is al-Rizq, that whatever you have, it comes from Allah. Your rizq, we call it daily bread in English language. Your rizq comes from Allah. My rizq comes from Allah. Whatever we have comes from Allah. But this man is saying, no, it's because of my knowledge. I'm the one that has it because I earned it. I have this knowledge that other people don't have. So much so that a lot of people began to praise him and wonder about him. Look at this guy. He's so wealthy. Qarun is really loaded, man. We would like to be like him. But then Allah caused an amazing thing to happen. The earth began to sink. And in some explanations said it was almost like quicksand. That began to sink and pull down. And all of his treasures, all of his wealth, all the things that he owned started going down, down into the ground. And him with it. And in one of the narrations said that it went down, all of it gone except just his head sticking up. Almost as if to say, well, where's your knowledge now? And the people all said, no, I don't want to be like Harun today. Not me. Mm-mm. So what we find out from this story is that it isn't your knowledge. And sooner or later, it's going to really backfire on you. If he was so smart, I guess he wouldn't have accumulated all of his heavy wealth and put it all in one place, in a place that is going to sink down. So obviously he didn't have all the knowledge. Not at all. In fact, somebody was telling me at one time when I was working in the prison ministries, and I was visiting with about 200 inmates at a gathering. I asked them, who here doesn't believe in God? I had asked how many were Christians and Jewish and different religions, but I said, who here doesn't believe in God at all? And one man, he raised his hand, and I said, you don't believe? He said, nope. I said, in all these other prisoners, they believe and you don't. He said, nope, I don't believe in nothing. I said, one thing about it, you've got a lot of guts. You're willing to say that in front of 199 criminals, and you're willing to tell them that they're stupid for believing something, but you don't believe. He said, that's right. I said, okay, can you just tell us then, how did you get here? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, how did you get here? I mean, you don't believe in God. You don't have any belief in anything. He said, that's right. I said, well, how'd you get here? He said, I'm self-made. I said, what's that? He said, I'm self-made. I said, can you clarify that? He said, yes. Ever since I was inside my mother, my brain has been working and my brain makes me what I am. I'm self-made. I said, you are. He said, that's right. I said, how did you come into existence? He said, I willed myself into existence. I said, what was this? He said, yes, everything is from my mind. I have I'm able to do things with my mind. I said, you are? He said, yes. I said, and you have this power? He said, I have the power of the mind. I said, so you don't believe in God? He said, I am my own God. I said, what? He said, I am my own God. I said, oh, really? So you're telling me, excuse me, for us non-God people, okay? You're telling me that you have power? You're God? He said, I'm my own God. I said, okay. Then can you explain to me why, when all these other prisoners are here, would like to get out, and you have all this power, then why are you in here? Why don't you just like use your mind and get out? Well, everybody started laughing. They said, this guy is a joke, you know. This is funny. I said, okay. But I want to ask you another question. If you have this power of the mind, can you do things? Said, yes, I can do anything. I said, anything. Okay. Tell you what, can you grow one hair out of your face while we watch? Just grow one hair. Can you do that? He couldn't say anything. I said, I got another one for you. We Muslims, we fast the month of Ramadan. We don't eat, we don't drink during the daylight hours. So can you do that? Can you go without food or drink for a whole month? I'm talking about night two. Don't eat at all. If you're your own God, why do you need to eat? Why do you need to drink? He said, I can't do that. I will die. I said, that's right. I'm going to ask you another question. Could you just like drink all you want? Drink all you want? Go ahead. All the liquid, tea, coffee, soda, water. Drink all you like. And just don't go to the bathroom for 2 days. I said, and you think you're God, huh? Let's take a break, and I want to come back and tell you the rest of this story. Sit right there. You're watching Beauties of Islam. We'll be right back after this. Well, we're back, and you're watching the Beauties of Islam. We've been talking about the human logic, the human brain and rationale, common sense, over God's knowledge. And I've been trying to make a point about what I was saying. And I mentioned about a prisoner who in prison was considering he was his own God. And we said, well, if you were God, what are you doing in prison, you know? But I would like to expound on that a little bit and let you think about something. Often the human beings begin to think that they are their own God and they want to make their own way. I will use my brain, I'll look around, see what it's all about, then I'll decide what I'll do and what I won't do. This is a very irrational approach, even though a person thinks they're using their own common sense. The reason is because of something else that they forgot to take into consideration. And that is, they did not create themselves, nor did they create the environment wherein they exist. If you created yourself and you created your own environment, then yes, you should be the one to dictate what the way will be. In Arabic, it's called deen. Your deen? Yes. If you created yourself and you created your environment, you dictate the deen, go ahead. But not so is the case in reality, because we didn't create ourselves and we didn't create our environment, the ahwal that we live in. This is coming to us from the real creator, the real sustainer of all that exists. And he's told us clearly in his book, and you can read it in the Quran in chapter 3, verse 19. Allah says, "In adina indallahil Islam." And the meaning here for this is that we understand Allah is saying that the only way of life, the one that He is prescribing for us, for sure, is submission to Him in peace. Islam means submission to God in peace. So whoever's doing that, they're doing that way, then they're in the deen of Allah. But if you try to make up your own deen, what will happen? Well, you get lost. And this is what's happened to so many people over the centuries, is they try to make up their own deen. They want to make their own way. But in fact, it will never work. And Allah says about that in the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 85. وَمَمْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever wants to make up their own way, not Allah's way, then Allah's not going to accept that from them. And in the hereafter, they're going to be with the losers. Now, often the translations miss the point in English, and they say whoever wants a religion other than Islam, Allah won't accept it, and in the hereafter, they'll be with the losers. But actually, if you give it that meaning, you lose a lot. You don't give the full impact. Allah's not talking about religion. He's talking about something much bigger, your way of life. Islam is a full and total and complete package that you don't need to use your rationale. You don't need to use your thinking to revise it. You use your aql, your mind, your brain, to determine that it is from God, and then you accept it because you've now used your mind as much as you can to determine that, yes, this is the way, and then you stay on that way. Regardless, if now your mind is occasionally saying, well, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. But don't rethink it and don't try to remake it, because if you do, it's not going to be Allah's deen anymore. Allah's deen, His way, the way that we're talking about here, is perfected. And it was perfected at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's no two ways about it. Because Allah says, الْيَوْمَ الْأَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ إِسْلَامَ دِينًا. It means here that Allah is telling us that the deen, the way of life for human beings, is perfected. On this day, Allah is saying, is perfected for you. And I have conferred upon you my biggest of ni'mah, or favors of Allah, and have chosen for you to submit, chosen for you to surrender, chosen for you to obey me. That's the deal. But do it in peace. It means no matter what comes, you're going to be at peace. If I give you a lot of goodies, you'll say, Alhamdulillah. If I give you a difficulty, you'll say, Alhamdulillah. If you find yourself happy, you say Alhamdulillah. If you find it difficult, you're sad, you still say Alhamdulillah. The praise to Allah, because you will understand that I am in this only because He has put me here. That's the meaning more or less behind what we've been talking about. It's the difference between trying to use your aql, your brain, your logic for more than what it was intended for. We were only supposed to come to the conclusion there is God and He's one and His way is one. It's Islam. And that is the biggest of the beauties of Islam. Don't forget to check our website, beautiesofislam.com. Till next time, peace. Salaam alaikum.